Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. We'll take your questions for PK on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. PK, we spent a lot of time last week talking about the offensive line and about what expectations should be for that offensive line as they hit the ground running heading into the season. Well, one thing that could throw a potential wrench in that is the status of Lloyd Cushenberry. Obviously coming off the Achilles tear, that's a significant injury for anyone, no matter who suffers it. And now you're talking about an offensive lineman, a bigger guy out there that's trying to battle back and get out there through this. So you have a piece at PaulKuharski.com that's really interesting in terms of the timeline, whether or not Cushenberry can be ready, the different examples that you use in this piece about other players that have suffered this injury, and the different outcomes with those guys as well. So what do you make of kind of what you found here in studying the Achilles tear and what this could mean for Lloyd Cushenberry and either his availability early on or certainly his effectiveness coming back from the injury?
Well, 10 months is the average return time. Opening day would be almost 10 months on the dot for Lloyd Cushenberry. So, I don't think you put him out there on the anniversary or the exact 10-month return date, right? You'd want him to be working for a couple weeks before that. So you'd need him to be on a timetable ahead of the average, which is totally possible. We'll be out there today. He's not going to be participating in this stuff for sure. But, maybe he'll be doing some running on the side or whatever, which is, really off the record. I found three offensive linemen who'd been through this. Patriots first-round pick Isaiah Wynn, who did it in 2018. He was on the field 1 year and 3 weeks later. Some of these guys, do it early enough in the season that their timetable isn't bad. His second game back, he suffered another injury, a turf toe, and he's been an injury-prone player over six seasons with New England and Miami, and he's a free agent now. Brandon Brooks was the best of the offensive linemen to suffer this. He suffered it twice. So he tore it in January of 2019 in a divisional round playoff loss, and he was back in under 8 months starting in the 2019 season opener. So he's an encouraging timeline. Yep. Then he tore his other tore it again in June of 2020. Didn't return for 15 months, and he was kind of done after that. Elijah Vera Tucker of the Jets tore it October 8th in 2023, and he was back for Week One. He had 11 months to make it back. How good these guys were as soon as they were back, it's hard to rate. But it's really a positive development. It's an offensive lineman and not a skill player. Offensive linemen don't have to do the cutting and the running and the stop and start stuff that skill players do. There's a guy named Tom Christ who writes for Fantasy Injury Team and has some medical background. And he wrote an undated piece that said, the research tells us that only 30% of NFL players who tear an Achilles are able to return to their professional careers all the way. And that is predominantly skill players. Kevin Dyson, who had some injury problems here, terrible knee injury and a hamstring injury during his Titans career. He was coming off that hamstring injury when he went to Carolina in 2003, tore his Achilles in summer practice. He made it back for only one game with Carolina, and his career was over there. And in a classic line that somebody pointed out, I wrote, I exchanged texts with Christ to delve into this difference. And people were very impressed with my sourcing.
Good for you.
People were very impressed with my sourcing, Joe.
Yeah, that's something that I was going to make a silly joke. I won't do it. So I hear what you're saying about the cutting and all that stuff. But I also, you think about getting into a pass set as a – and you think about your Achilles, you think about getting into a pass set as an offensive lineman, it still seems like that's an awful lot of strain. So two questions for you, PK. One is, obviously the Titans have to, they have to be ready with a alternative offensive line without him, right? Like you have to be prepared for the timeline to be longer than you hope and all that stuff, right? So how do you think that looks? How effective that could be? Can that be? And then also, I mean, how good is Cushenberry? How good was he before he got hurt last year? I guess, you know, I think it's hard to tell because there were other parts of the offensive line that were so bad. But I feel like there's a lot being put on, okay, Cushenberry will be back, and you, the right side, you know, looks better, and you know, Latham in a natural spot. But, man, like, if center is not sound, that could really undo what they hope will be a much better offensive line, right?
Yeah, and I'm probably underestimating it in my desire for them to be good out of the gate. Though, again, there's an example here of somebody fast-tracking it back, Brandon Brooks, the first time around. I don't know how good Cushenberry is, right? He got halfway into this season where a lot of the offensive line theme, even amongst the veterans, was this is a heck of an adjustment to Bill Callahan. I don't he wasn't as good as advertised.
No.
But it was a situation where they needed a center, and they went and got the best available center, so I don't begrudge them for doing that. But I think the answer to the question is to come. And unfortunately, we got 8 games of him in the first year, and it'll probably take 8 games of his second year before he's, you know, ready to be rated based on coming back from this thing. In terms of alternatives, I mean, Corey Levin has been in and out of this roster 15 times. Yeah. Sam Mustafa, I think, is the primary alternative, and he's played a lot. So there could be a real, you know, we don't see a lot of real competitions on the Titans based on their lack of depth. But Mustafa Levin could be a real competition for who it would be if it's not Cushenberry, which will be something to watch. Not during these OTAs, but in real camp when pads are on.
So getting back to the OTAs part of this for just a second, because, you know, obviously we're still a significant distance away from actual training camp and meaningful preseason work before you get into the regular season. Ed on the text line, throwing it out there, like, what should we actually pay attention to in OTAs? Are the first team / second team rotations and who's playing with who actually important now in these situations?
I think relevant but not super important. I mean, I imagine the receivers are going to roll through like crazy beyond Ridley and Lockett.
Yep.
And we're not really allowed to say, but we're allowed to ask. So it's kind of an awkward thing. Like, they don't want us to say, but if we notice something that's extreme, if DK doesn't take any reps with Cam Ward, I'll say, Brian, Brian's talking before practice, so Nick Holtz is talking after practice. I'll say, Nick, where was DK lining up today? It didn't seem like he was getting many reps with Cam, and he'll comment on it, and then it'll become fair game to talk about, right? So collectively we'll have enough eyes on it to see stuff like that and make adjustments in what we think for a week. But you know, that could be just the luck of the draw. Yep. Or whatever for the rotation today. And then next week we could see the practice and DK could be running with once. And so it's a very small snapshot.
It's fickle.
We yep. would be wise, and some of us are. You know who's who in the media corps, to, you know, couch it as it was a snapshot, as opposed to this is a revolutionary change in how people are being deployed, because next week it could be totally different.
Well, and I think a lot of people going, like, building on that question from Ed, are going to naturally go right to Cam Ward. And look, we've talked about what I think is largely a charade of getting through the offseason and then Cam Ward's going to be the quarterback. But, like, if Cam Ward's out there taking all the first-team reps, do you read into that? If the quarterback reps are more even than maybe you think, do you read into that?
And if Levis takes the first snaps today, that will be the story. And I think it'd be foolish for the Titans to do that. But I think I won't be – absolutely surprised if that's what happens.
Really? Boy, I'd be surprised by that.
Yeah, it's just this seniority.
Gotta earn it, Cam.
Yeah, and the seniority thing. I mean, the first initial depth chart.
Tim Boyle take the first one then? If we're going by seniority.
Seniority with the team, not seniority in the league.
That would be. I mean, if you do that, again, I know you're not doing anything on the practice field, like for the benefit or, you know, to whatever, like with media in mind and fans, but like. I just feel like you're just inviting, you know, questions that are just, you know what I mean?
It's a big waste of time.
Yeah, it's a big waste of time, and you're creating a story that I still wouldn't think would be there at all. I don't think this is going to be an actual competition. I think Cam Ward's going to end up getting the reps, and they're going to build toward a season of him starting. But
yeah, I do think Levis would be a popular. I certainly want to talk to Levis today, but it shouldn't be about having the first snaps.
Right. Yeah, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Lots more to get to on the Titans front with PK. Continue to take your questions on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This week's Nashville's best deal of the week, it's 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game this Friday for your NCAA Baseball Regionals coverage. The number one seeded Vanderbilt Commodores hosting number four seed Wright State at Hawkins Field coming up this Friday, May the 30th. First pitch, approximately 5 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all.
So, Joe, I thought I was finding this end around on the Real ID stuff. Like, I submitted my documents online, which I thought, you know, would accelerate the process. And I got an email back last night that said, like, my documents have been approved. And I looked at the fine print and everything, and it basically says, like, yes, bring these four documents and you'll be fine. What a great layer they've added to this process. Somebody has looked at my documents, and they will look at my documents again when I get in line or find an appointment, which right now the closest appointment it could find is like McMinnville.
You're pre-approved. That's exciting.
No, I'm not even pre-approved. It just says, yes, these documents are fine.
The documents that you thought you needed to bring, you in fact need to bring. Congratulations.
Yeah. You are correct, sir. See you there.
What a process.
Yeah, I would not mess around with the appointment thing is toast.
Thing is, my kid's license time is coming up. I don't think he's going to be able to get an appointment because of this stuff. Way to crush kids' dreams.
You can drive when you're 19.
Yeah. He'll be all right. Just he can. I mean, it's, in, you know, Williamson County, drive around.
Yeah.
It's fine. No one cares, man.
Just throw my name around. I'm very popular with the police.
They know you well.
That's right. PK, we have a lot of people asking about this for some reason, so I guess I'll throw it out to you. Your expectations for Treylon Burks and how we think he's going to look in this part of the offseason. Apparently,
I guess he's out there. I don't think he's doing anything. He's recovering from an ACL tear. People, here's your update on Treylon Burks pre-OTA. He's on the side working inside working.
Can I ask this? And look, I understand, you know, Titans fans, he's a first-round pick. I get it. Why do we care anymore? Like, have we not seen enough? Am I alone on this? Like, Treylon Burks, I don't think he's going to make the team. I mean, maybe he does. Yeah, we'll see.
I don't think he's making the team.
But I don't really know why. Why do we care about what Treylon Burks looks like? Because, frankly, we've seen him look good in camp, and it doesn't matter.
I'm surprised people have the energy to be interested in Treylon Burks. I thought they were singularly focused on Restrepo.
It's true. Good point. Hey, you get to watch him today. That'll be fun.
I mean, part of the serious answer is just like the receiving room. I mean, they're so bereft of proven talent that, you know, it's like, eh. And anybody who might possibly help is still in play. But, yes, yeah, so some have this fascination with him that at this point is hard to understand.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, it's – I understand the first round pick was what the first round pick was. But have we not seen enough at this point to know what he is? Which he can't stay healthy, and when he has been healthy, he's not been productive. So I fully do not expect him to make the team this year. That's where I'm at.
I would guess all three of us are there. I mean, there's always this chance that there's a confluence that suddenly he's healthy and there's a confluence of other injuries that create room. We know there's a huge amount of sifting out to be done at the wide receiver position. But when that sifting out happens, I'm not expecting Treylon Burks to be on the positive side. And I need to adjust my depth chart to account for that. I'm guilty in my estimated depth chart of overranking him on seniority just because, you know.
Well, we need to call Glennon in too. Get more information about Van Jefferson out there.
Brian, Van Jefferson.
And that was in the middle of the questioning of
L'Jarius Sneed.
L'Jarius Sneed, which isn't important.
Got a new Trey Avery out there. Missed a heck of a development on that last week, Rex Rowe.
Good wow, stuff. Okay. John's got someone to replace Trey Avery.
He does.
Johnny Johnning.
He does. It's Van Jefferson now. So we'll see how that part of it goes. Yeah, like I look at their receiving room, and as far as like today and this week, what you can begin to take away, like, does Io Manor go out there and look pretty good, right? Does DK, are they able to make some plays? And again, it's limited in its importance because nobody's getting after the quarterback. Nobody's putting the quarterback to the ground in these things. So until you're playing actual football, there are limitations on what all these things mean. But it would be nice if one of the takeaways that you had with a measured degree of reality dosed in there is you walk away from this feeling pretty good about what either an Io Manor or a DK may be able to add to you immediately this year. Like, they need – I know that they're fourth-round picks, so it's not like they've spent significant draft picks on those guys. But they need one of those guys to be able to help them immediately based on where their receiving room currently is.
Yeah, and sight's largely unseen. I would bet on Io Manor.
I would agree.
But, you know, we start to see it more today. There's also, you know, that X position wide open, and Io Manor, I think, fits it.
So, Restrepo, I know that we've, you know, you've said he's not making the team, although you have him as a 28% chance of making the team, which, according to your math, doesn't work.
Yeah, we've covered all this.
Yeah, well, I understand, but now you're going to get to see him with the veterans. Are you interested to see how he looks? You know, you get the rookie camp, you get guys who really there's just no comparative, you know, there's just nothing to compare him to for the most part, right? Although there were the other rookie receivers. But how do you think he fares, you know, with in this setting?
Well, I think, you know, we'll get context on the speed. One guy that I've heard that has done very well for himself so far, which is not a good thing for Restrepo, is James Prochet, who, you know, there's not going to be a lot of room for him as a receiver. But if he wins the return job,
yep,
he is your seventh receiver conceivably, and that would eliminate the possibility of Restrepo. So Prochet versus DK in terms of return man is a big thing there. Now, I think, you know, the Prochet thing, it's easy, not easy, but a guy like that tends to shine early in OTAs, I think, generally speaking. So that's a guy worth having an eye on.
So let me ask you this, because I still think there's a thought out there that we could see some movement with Will Levis by the time the season comes around and he may not be on the roster, which I think is a very real possibility. Let's say that he's not. Let's say that he's here and either they're not able to come to a deal, or they just want him here and they want to continue to develop him as they move forward here. How much of a competition do you think there is for backup quarterback? Because I hear Brian Callahan talk about Brandon Allen, and he really likes him. Like, obviously he's been around him. And, you know, there's a level of comfort there, I think, that he's got. And he talked earlier this offseason about how Brandon Allen's a way better quarterback than people give him credit for. So do you think that there's a scenario where Levis is here and he's still not even the backup quarterback? Like, that to me speaks even further to moving on and getting him off the roster. But is that a conceivable scenario for the Titans?
I can't see them carrying three. It's just it's inefficient roster management because that third guy has, A, little to do during the practice week, and B, is so rarely called on. So you have a third one on the practice squad that you could get to. That's not going to be Will Levis or Brandon Allen. Here's my thing about backup quarterbacks. I think a veteran with minimal ceiling, just if you get to a place where you're putting him in for a stretch, if your guy's down for three or four games, you just know that it's not going to be good. And so I generally have come to favor a younger guy with more upside. Like maybe something big happens here and, you know, the guy could give you a dud game, and we know that's completely possible with Will Levis. But we also know he's and I understand that these things have been far removed, that he can throw for four touchdowns and that he could lead a big comeback. And you know, he's worked with Jordan Palmer, and you know, we're going to see how some [S2] Yep. [S1] Of this stuff translates to what he does now and who he is now and all of that. But I don't get Brandon Allen. Like, Brandon Allen is, you know, he'll come in relief and give you a very safe effort, and your run game and your defense will win.
But see, a lot of people would say that's exactly what QB2 should be. It should not be this, who knows what you'll get with this performance from this young, gunslinger. I mean, if you have, I guess it kind of depends on if you have a solid team or not, but if you have a solid team that can play some D and run the ball, then you want the safe game manager, QB2 lifelong clipboard holder to not screw it up.
I think that in maybe the relief situation. But do you think that the Titans, with very safe quarterback play, are gonna win two out of four?
No, do you think they're going to, with the same team with Will Levis, are gonna win two out of four?
I think they have a better chance. I'll take the Levis option over the Allen option, is what I'm saying.
That's a little bit of a hot take, Robbie. There's a little bit of smoke coming off this take.
A little bit. Like, this is why it continues to boggle my mind that he's still here, and I think that he won't be by the time the season comes around, just because, as you laid out, it makes no sense to carry three quarterbacks, and I don't think that that's ultimately going to be the route they go here. I don't love the idea of the backup quarterback turning the ball over at the rate Will Levis turns the ball over. But, I mean, frankly, like, you look at Brandon Allen.
Brandon Allen's got a 56.7 completion percentage in his career. And he's thrown 11 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. So looking at him as some big, safe guy who's going to come in and manage a game for you, I don't know where that comes from.
I look, I'm not saying he's good. What I am saying is that the wild swings with Levis, just for me, again, all of this stuff, I get back to, do I have a solid team? And at this point, I don't think they do. No. So it probably doesn't matter. But, you know, the reason I'd move on from Levis is because I don't want the last guy as a distraction if he outplays Cam Ward for a while and all that stuff. But, you know, I just, like, you're right, he's not good, but you would think that he would at least maybe not do some of the things Levis has done to hurt the team.
What I'm saying is I'm willing to look at Levis again to see if he's better than that. And that look comes in the preseason and the camp. And I understand that's not the best. That's not the same as being in the pressure of a game. But I still feel like there's upside there's good in Levis to be Star Warsy.
Nice. We'll have more with PK coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Got some tickets to give away to see Incubus performing Morning View in its entirety, plus the hits with special guest Manchester Orchestra and Paris Jackson coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, June 25th. Be caller 5-615-737-1025 is our phone number. PK, you brought up John Fossil earlier, the special teams coordinator for the Titans. We know how much of an absolute disaster special teams was for the Titans last year. So beyond some changes they made at the end of the season personnel-wise that we talked about that ended up working out better for them, what are you most interested to hear about Fossil, his philosophy, and trying to drastically improve that part of the game that when things are going well there, you probably don't notice it all that much, but man, when they're not, you notice it a lot like we did with the Titans last year.
Yeah, well, I want to know about his input on the back end of the roster and the guys who are likely to compose the core of you know, the four main special teams. I'm sure he has influence on that, and that say a guy like Marcus Harris, the cornerback that they drafted near the end, has special teams abilities in his game, because that's where his chance will be early in this. And I would certainly think most of the undrafted rookie free agents that he you know, if they're choosing between a couple of guys, he would have given a green light on a lot of those guys and the like, and his assessment of what he could do with guys like James Williams, say, or these inside linebacker candidates who, you know, Otis Reese and guys like that. I think he's a bit of a character, so super high energy. So, you know, the last two guys – have said a lot of stuff and talked a decent game and then had to kind of just talk their way through their 10 minutes.
Oh yeah.
After some disasters. I think
a lot of focus on special teams press conferences around here.
Anybody connected to this team is hoping the 10 minutes for game weeks are not disaster control anymore.
Yeah, we were talking earlier, PK. I was like, is Fossil here? Is he going to be like the next Kerry Combs? I still struggle yep. with Combs or Coombs. You know, like, oh, everybody just talking about his energy and he's out there with his coffee and everything. Oh, like, yeah. Like the star assistant coach. When's the last time they had a star assistant coach? It's been a bit. It's
Bill
been
Callahan. A bit.
Yeah. I mean,
well, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, never mind.
Well, a star assistant
young
coach.
Star.
A star assistant coach whose units have produced. It's been a while. My man Catch No Balls was effective for a while, right?
Yeah, forgot about that.
Absolutely. Here's your reminder.
Logan Ryan with the T-shirts.
And Byard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. MMCNB, baby.
I just, you know, this is the time of year. Wasn't it, you know, around OTAs where we got the Byard – Anthony Firkser top flight tight end comparison. Like, we could get some real stuff this week out there. Was it the
that might have been camp? That might have been camp.
Was that camp?
Maybe.
I mean, one of them was OTAs. I don't remember if it was that one or if it was the AJ Brown. Racy McMath kind of reminds me of Julio Jones.
I think that was OTAs. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we need to not hear that kind of stuff today. Treylon Burks is, you know, can be one of the best receivers in the league if he just get healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need that headline today.
Hey, Cam Ward on the Fortnite stream.
Probably not.
Top four.
I think
that's true.
I think there's an effort from coaches and front office for a degree of realism that Rand Carthon didn't bring. And hopefully the trickle down of that is that players are not going to anoint other players as things that they are not.
I'm glad you could make sure to blame Rand about something else today. It wouldn't have been a complete day without that.
How much?
Well, sorry. Let me correct myself. It was great that Rand said that they had checked every box. He was dead on target.
We hired every single coach that we wanted to. First pick. Good stuff. How much?
All the other GMs are mad about all of our picks. Did you know that?
I heard that.
Furious.
How much can you kind of get a sense of Cam Ward? And, you know, we talked a lot last week about leadership. He's around the veteran players now. How much can you kind of get a sense for in these type of settings how that is going, how that's shaking out, even though it's still very early in the process?
Nobody's going to say anything about him not leading. I mean, you draft a quarterback number one, you drop him in the huddle,
guys are going to look for the good and be patient with the bad, and they want to be led, and they want to follow, and they want new good leadership. And, you know, we heard nothing bad really about him in that department when people were touching the negatives of Cam Ward. That wasn't one of them.
Right.
And so I don't expect there are any questions about that. I think this offense was desperate for some better leadership, not just from quarterback, from all around. I mean, Tony Pollard brought some of it, you know, but it's hard to find it on an offensive line that was unproductive. Callahan came out and said last week when he talked to us that he thinks that leaders need to be productive, which is something different than Mike Vrabel believed in, which I think is an important distinction and a win in the Callahan column for me. So, but I think it's very natural around the NFL for a rookie quarterback and rookie quarterbacks who have been a lot worse than Cam Ward coming into situations like Cam Ward's coming into to get huge benefit of the doubt.
Okay, I need to follow up on the Vrabel thing, the point you just made. But I one thing I wanted to say, you know, with Cam, I am concerned in terms of I think he's got a good approach. I think he's, you know, the intangibles seem good. I think he has the makeup of potentially being a good leader if he's a good player. But, like, man, it's hard to not have at least someone on that offensive line in particular who is one of the, like, any good team, at least one or two of those offensive linemen are among the top leaders on the team. Yes. You know?
Don't we think and that could be Zeitler, though, eventually? I mean, I know he's new.
Or but, more.
Yeah. Yeah, or more. I mean, you would like for your $20 million left tackle to be that, but, like, Zeitler's a guy I could see kind of stepping into that pretty quickly, even though he's in a new spot.
Yeah, that would be good. And I do think that Latham, if he's, again, if Latham's good, gets his game together, then I think, like, he's, I think down the road could be a guy like that. But, you know, think about in the past, even, again, Marcus Mariota, pretty good quarterback for the Titans, who, you know, like that 16 year in the breakout, you had Lawan kind of emerging, and then you had Ben Jones coming in. And like, I just think that helps a young quarterback so much. And so that's one of the gaps here, one of many gaps here, that's going to make it more difficult for him. But when you said, PK, that Vrabel didn't care about production when it came to leadership.
Yeah, this was, I got in big trouble with this, actually. He said that leadership was separate of production. And this is when Logan Ryan was doing a show with us over at the other station. And I asked Logan about this, maybe a little bit separate of the Vrabel quote. He felt like that. And he said, leaders have to be productive, you know, or they don't have that much credibility. And I wrote a post saying, like, two successful Patriots have differing views on production and leadership, which I thought, you know, just fairly said, these two guys have different things on it. But Logan thought I was pitting him against Vrabel and basically quit the show over, over me posting this. Wow.
And, such a minor thing.
Yeah, it really, he made a much bigger deal out of it than it was. And I certainly had conversations with him after that. And,
yep.
But they didn't have any, their leaders are Byard and
no, but this was a Deion Lewis-centered thing where he kept touting Deion Lewis as a leader. And we kept saying, the guy's not doing anything. How are you asking people to look at Deion Lewis as a leader when Deion Lewis is not doing anything? What Deion Lewis's leadership qualities are in New England, not here.
Is a leader in blocking media on Twitter.
Say, we know that, you know, he didn't let the media get to him because he never saw anything. Blocked it all.
Didn't he block you, Robbie?
Yeah. Never spoke to or about him. He blocked me. I wasn't even on the radio at that time.
How did he even find you?
I don't know. Like, I wasn't even on the radio at that time, and I got blocked by Deion Lewis.
That'd be a great podcast to, like,
get every Metro reporter, every, like, single editor and Metro reporter at the Tennessean just blocked.
Deion Lewis block like Elliot Friedman? Yeah. I want to hear that hockey stuff.
I'm sure I've looked at this before, but I now need to find his account and see if I'm blocked.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am sure that you are.
What are the chances I'm not blocked?
Something more than blocked, that's what you are.
What are the chances I'm not blocked?
1.1%.
It's Deion Lewis RB.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Here we go. Give me a drum roll. I need a drum roll.
Drum roll, please.
Deion Lewis RB. Bang. Deion Lewis.
I'm blocked.
RB. Super Bowl champion.
Yeah. Are you not blocked?
Has blocked me.
There we go. I figured there was no chance.
We are free on the station. Unblocked here.
Wow. 102.5. What's
his most recent post?
December of 2024.
Okay.
Yeah. He's real active on it. We're really missing out.
And then before that, June of 2024. So a couple months break. Yeah, and then before that, November of 23.
All right.
So, yeah.
You know, the most hurtful block I had was Jonnu Smith.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what that was about. I actually was doing a story on guys handling their social media. This was when Compton was playing, and Compton was great on this subject about letting social media get to you or whatever.
Yeah.
And I went and talked to Jonnu Smith about it, and he was like, yeah, I don't really pay attention or block people or anything. And I was like, you blocked me.
We'll have one more segment with PK coming up next. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. 1025 The Game, your racing station. Tune in this weekend for all the NASCAR races at the Nashville Super Speedway on The Game, presented by Green Trees. Friday, it's the Rackley Roofing 200. Saturday, the Tennessee Lottery 250. And Sunday, the Cracker Barrel 400, starting at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Green Trees Company, a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary located in Hendersonville, and a new location in West Nashville, available online at greentreescompany.com. PK with us for one more segment, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. People asking if you're excited about Chelsea's final today.
I am. I don't know where it is on TV and the potential for me to tape it. So I'm a little disappointed in that. These more obscure tournaments, harder to find sometimes. But they should win it handily. I'd be disappointed if they don't.
I'm still upset with you that your Yankees let me down in weekend winners the other night, choking and losing to the Rockies.
That was a bad Friday night for New York. You and I and agreeably Ian hit on it. Knicks losing and Yankees losing to the god-awful Rockies. They took care of the other two, but you need to sweep them.
Yeah, so the Rockies are 9-44 now? Is that what they are? Somewhere around there?
So
good
bad.
Stuff. Good
so
stuff
bad.
On that.
Guess who has the best record in the American League?
Yeah,
check those standings.
And guess who looks at the May 28th standings and thinks that that's, crowning something?
Tigers fans.
Yeah.
Proud of it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Send me a picture of the trophy.
I will. Please. I'm making one right now.
Please do.
In my hotel room.
Oh, yeah? There you go. Do you think Legarius Sneed
with this water bottle
says anything at all today about the situation that he currently finds himself in?
No, I think both he and Simmons, if he's there, will be no commenting their legal situations.
Okay. So what else beyond the legal situation would you like to hear from Legarius Sneed today? I'm interested if he goes into any detail whatsoever about his injury, where he's at, and kind of the management plan that they've got moving forward.
The health issue. I'm more interested. I mean, I understand that the knee is a management issue.
Yes.
That's not a surprise. They knew that when they traded for him. They said it. What's the status of the quad?
Right.
And that's the most interesting thing to me. And, is he out there doing anything, or is he an observer today? It doesn't matter on May 28th, but, the quad.
It's a quad? I thought it was a knee.
See, it's both.
They are. I mean, that's the thing. He's not gonna. Especially now. Like, if he didn't have this whole thing, maybe you'd have a chance, right?
Yep.
But with all this stuff, it's gonna come down to just we'll see if he gets out on the field. I mean, the problem is with him too, PK, is that he had a great season not practicing. So, like, practice also could tell you absolutely nothing.
Well, he may be eager to get to the quad question because it'll be the first question after he's done not answering the legal questions.
That's true.
So we might actually get some quad information, maybe.
Although, like,
maybe you should lead with that.
Yeah, maybe so. Lead with soften up.
Come in.
What if Glennon leads with a Van Jefferson question?
What's it like to cover Van Jefferson?
You covered a lot of good receivers in your career. Where's Van Jefferson?
And somebody will probably say that Van Jefferson, looks like Justin Jefferson.
Well, maybe so.
He's really got the potential to be Justin Jefferson. Yeah, by the time this thing gets going, you guys won't be able to tell the difference. And Treylon Burks is looking like one of the best receivers in the league.
Really reminds me of another Jefferson.
He's looking more like George Jefferson.
PK, thank you for being with us. Great stuff as always today.
Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks.
That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Chase and Big Joe is coming up next. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their day. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.